You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Pistons beat the Hornets last night, a game that went down to the wire. Charlotte scored 42 points on their final 22 possessions. That's 191 defensive rating for the Pistons. Just awful. But after the game, Stan Van Gundy said he did not want to talk about Detroit's fourth quarter defense, so we won't talk about it. We won't talk about how lazy the Pistons got once they built a big double-digit lead. We won't talk about their breakdowns once they finally keyed in. We won't talk about just the inattentiveness before that. We won't talk about any of that stuff. We'll just talk about how important it was for the Pistons to get a win. I've been hitting on this before. I don't think the Pistons are as bad as they think they are. I think a lot of the slump has been about some bad breaks, some issues getting Reggie Jackson acclimated, but also just a general sense from the team that things are worse than they are, and that snowballs. It hurts their confidence. It creates a little bit of infighting, maybe some finger pointing. There was talk about who was sharing the ball enough, who wasn't. They just need to win to feel good. So they get this win over the Hornets. It's important for that. I don't think the Pistons need to play so much better than they've been playing before. They need to play better, especially defensively, and they did for most of this game. But they just need to get these wins to feel better, and they need to get wins to move up in the standings. The Pistons' point difference, which is a better indicator than record of future success, is pretty good for a playoff team, for getting into the playoffs. Their record is not. They need wins. Wins are what gets teams get teams into the playoffs. I know this sounds simple, but it's not just who the teams are, the eight teams that are playing the best at the end of the year. It's not the eight teams that have played the best throughout the year. It's the eight teams in the conference with the most wins. So the Pistons just desperately needed this win, especially as they go out on a five-game road trip into the Western Conference. They're going to be playing at the Trailblazers, at the Kings, at the Warriors, at the Jazz, at the Lakers. Maybe two really tough games. Playing at the Warriors is always difficult. They're the best team in basketball. Playing in their home court, that's going to be tough. The Jazz are very good, maybe even a little underrated. When they're very healthy, they're very good. Even when they're not healthy, they're still pretty good. That's going to be tough. The more winnable games on the schedule there, the Trailblazers, solid offensively, horrific defensively. The Pistons hopefully can take advantage of that, but that won't be easy. The Kings are feeling confident. They're sort of in the opposite boat of the Pistons. I don't think the Pistons are a worse team than the Kings. I don't think that's a talent disadvantage, but the Kings are riding high. They're in playoff position. That eighth spot in the Western Conference is very weak. The Kings have won a little more lately. They're feeling good about where they are. The Pistons, that's going to be a tough one for them just because of the confidence issues, but that would be one that would be nice to get. And then there are the Lakers who have struggled after a hot start. Their defense has really fallen off. Their offense can be a little up and down, but they're an okay team. They play hard. They play fast. They play a pretty exciting game. They're going to be at home. That could be a tough one too. The Pistons could go 0-5 on this trip. The upside is probably something like 3-2. I would take 2-3 and be happy with it. But 0-5 is possible. It's tough when you go on the road and you play all these games. And the Pistons aren't even fully healthy. This is from Aaron McCann of MLive. A number of injury updates from practice today. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope didn't participate in the contact portion of practice. It seems like he'll be okay to go against Portland on Saturday, but it is a little concerning that he didn't practice, at least fully in the contact portion. Aaron Baines was also limited. His absence against the Hornets led to Boban Marjanovic's breakout game. We'll have more on that later. Reggie Bullock was actually a full participant in practice today, so that could be a nice sign that he could get back and maybe even rejoin the rotation. He was the Pistons' best backup shooting guard when he got hurt. Stanley Johnson has come around a little bit. Stanley Johnson's upside will get him more leeway, but Bullock could come back and, and push for rejoining the rotation and making the Pistons a little better. So the Pistons go into this tough stretch, but at least they got this win over the Hornets. The key, of course, was Boban. Boban had the best game he had with the Pistons, 15 points, 19 rebounds in 22 minutes. He shot four shots, 3 of 4. He scored 15 points. The Hornets were just following him a lot. I expected a little bit more of this from Marjanovic. He's so big. He's so strong. And he has such nice touch with the ball. Get him the ball inside. He's going to get points. He's going to grab rebounds. He's going to be ultra efficient in those ways. His drawback, lack of speed, lack of lateral mobility, those hurt him defensively. But I thought he'd have more capability like this. He hasn't played a ton for the Pistons. He's been buried behind Andre Drummond and Aaron Baines and occasionally John Luehr at center. Not a lot of minutes for Boban. But when he's gotten in, he hasn't been as good as I thought he would be for Detroit. This game was. Maybe this is a chance for him to claim a rotation spot. If he plays this well, it'd be hard to not play him and to play Aaron Baines over him. I don't think he's going to keep this up. I mean, this was an extraordinary game for him. But I think he can come closer to this more often. Tobias Harris continues to play very well off the bench. He scored 25 points on 16 shots. This is a role that's been suiting him well. I'm not sure whether he'll remain happy with it, but he said all the right things. He's talked about doing what's best for the team, and right now this is best for the team. He's excelling in that role. Maybe it's a case that he should move back into the starting lineup. There's some logic to that, but he's working well off the bench. I think you have to stick with it because it is working for him. And then the other player who really stood out against the Hornets in particular was Reggie Jackson, 22 points, 7 of 15 shooting. He's really coming around. In his last four games, he's averaging 22 points, 9 assists. He's shooting 48% from the field, 44% on three-pointers. Looking like the player we saw last season for most of the year last year, finally coming back from this injury, looking like he's getting his groove. Yeah, it's only four games. Maybe it's just a small sample size, but just with the arc of his comeback, it seems to fit. Seems that he's getting it back together. You watch him play. He's getting to the rim better. I don't know if his lift is quite the same yet, if he can attack the rim and elevate to the basket like he could, but he's using his craftiness to draw fouls to finish at the rim, to still be effective in the paint. And when he can get going downhill a little faster in the pick and roll with Andre Drummond, it opens up so much for the Pistons' offense. Their offense is really still based around this Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond pick and roll. The Pistons have done a nice job this year of developing some other things around that. Not even necessarily things that are just complements to it, but other things they can use instead at different points in the game. But also things that can work as complements. But when Reggie Jackson can't get going attacking the basket, it really stalls things. So this is a nice sign of progress for him. I'd like to see his lift at the basket get a little better going forward, but I think that's just the next step in the process. Hopefully this is a continued gradual climb up. There might be some ups and downs a little bit, but it does seem to definitely be trending in the right direction lately. But despite all those good things, that late defense allowed the Hornets back in, and that set up an incredible last play for the Hornets. Half a second left, Marco Bellinelli inbounded the ball off Marcus Morris's back, caught it, shot a three-pointer just after the buzzer. Marcus Morris actually said that he was trying to bait Bellinelli into it, that when Bellinelli was inbounding, Morris turned around because he thought, half a second, maybe Bellinelli would go for that. Marcus Morris said he had a hunch of that. I find that a little hard to believe that he was thinking it through, like, oh, Bellinelli might go for it, but I also am as sure as I am he might go for it, I'm certain he won't have enough time to do it. Bellinelli almost got the shot off. It was pretty close. I think maybe having your back turned with the idea that there's no way he'd do it because there's not enough time, and this is my best way to defend the inbound pass, to have anybody cutting toward Bellinelli as the inbounder. You can see them coming and get between them. There's some logic there. But thinking through all the way that, I might bait him into doing it, that's a little tough for me to believe. Either way, Morris helped the Pistons get that last stop. The Pistons move on with the win, and a little bit more good news yesterday. Might not matter too much to Detroit, but if it does, it's good news. And that's that the Hawks traded Kyle Korver to the Cavs. The Cavs are definitely going to finish ahead of the Pistons. And so them getting stronger with Kyle Korver, a nice player, definitely declined from where he was, but still a nice player, an upgrade over Mike Dunleavy off the Cleveland bench. It's not going to make a difference for the Pistons in the standings. However, the Hawks are ahead of Detroit. This could open the door for the Pistons to pass Atlanta. No, losing Kyle Korver on its own, that's probably not enough. But this might lead to the Hawks making some other trades to break up this roster. There's talk that Tim Hardaway Jr. could be available. The big name is Paul Millsap. And yeah, there's been a little talk of should the Pistons trade for Paul Millsap. Sure, I'd like to have Paul Millsap on the team. He's a very good player, one of the most underrated players in the league. Excellent two-way player. Plug him at a power forward next to Andre Drummond. It'd be an excellent pairing. The problem is Millsap's going to be an unrestricted free agent next summer, and so to trade for him, you have to have some belief you can re-sign him. Presumably, the Hawks would give any interested team permission to talk to Millsap, engage his interest in re-signing. But there's no exact way to do that. You have to do it on feel. And so I don't know if the Pistons are interested, but before talking about what they would or should give up, they have to have that conversation with Millsap and assess their odds of being able to re-sign him. You don't want to throw away big-time assets for a rental on a year where, you know, the goal is just to make the playoffs at this point. That's not enough where you go in for a caliber of player like Millsap. A team like the Raptors is the type of team that should be going after Millsap. And of course, Pistons fans are familiar with this. This is where the Pistons were in 2004 when they were traded for Rasheed Wallace because they thought they were near a championship, and turns out they were. Not the place the Pistons are in now. Just struggling, trying, fighting to get into the playoffs at all. And the national scene is taking notice that the Pistons are not making this leap forward this year that many expected. The Pistons-Hawks game on January 18th, no longer going to be televised by ESPN. The first round of All-Star balloting came in. No Pistons made the leaderboard. That's pretty frustrating for Andre Drummond. Was an All-Star last year, looking to build on that. Hasn't really gotten that momentum, that attention, because the Pistons aren't winning. He's not doing anything special. He's still a very good player. But there are a lot of very good players in the league, only so many All-Star spots. He's not doing anything to differentiate himself. He's not really making huge progress overall from where he was last year. He's doing certain things with his game, especially his off-the-dribble game, but his defense hasn't really come around fully now that we've gotten a bigger picture like you would have hoped from last year. So the Pistons are really just sort of hanging on right now as a team in the mix around, but not one that's gaining a lot of relevance nationally. One final note before we take off for the weekend. This is from David Pick. Former Piston Tony Mitchell is being cut by Maccabi Haifa in Israel because of numerous mispractices and late arrivals. If you remember, the Pistons drafted Tony Mitchell in the second round a few years ago. He came out of North Texas. If he had gone pro after his freshman year, it seemed like he might have been a lottery pick. Fell all the way to second round. I think this gives you a glimpse of why he probably didn't last with the Pistons and in the NBA. We'll be back on Monday to discuss that Trailblazers game and the rest of the upcoming road trip. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. I also want to recommend checking out Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Excellent, excellent podcast to keep you up to date on everything fantasy NBA. Thanks, everybody, for listening.